Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Brandon, my mom, as you know, listens to the show every single day. But if you were to see her in person, which I don't know when that's ever going to happen, what would you tell her? Pat Olson.
I would say, Pat, thank you so much for listening to us. I hope that you've subscribed to the show and you're telling your lady friends in the sewing circle to subscribe as well. We want all comers. All ages are welcome in the discussion.
She's 85.
Yeah.
I dare I say we're on the TikTok, so we're getting some 20-year-olds, some 15-year-olds.
Yeah, think about that age difference. 65-year difference. That's amazing.
So, in summarization, please tell a friend to listen to the Smarticle Podcast, smarticlepodcast.com. Google us. You can find us everywhere. We're going Hollywood today, Brandon. Here's the headline. L.A. mansion owners race to sell as tax looms. A tax on high-end real estate transactions in the city of L.A. starts on April 1st. This comes via The Morning Brew and Zab Klebanov.
I don't know about the wokeness of Sam Klebanov or not. I will say this, a big shout out to The Morning Brew. I think it's a great aggregate because they not only do they post articles, but they kind of give their own spin on it. So it sort of ties into what we're doing here. I read The Morning Brew every single day. I would highly recommend it. This is an article that was actually written by someone who works for The Morning Brew as part of this aggregate. So it was an interesting, that's why it's not quite an article from a news thing, but it is. So I love it. So I don't know about Sam, but I do know that I like The Morning Brew.
Okay, well, let's get into this article here. LA residents voted to pass the additional real estate tax on luxury properties last November. Proceeds will go toward expanding the supply of affordable housing in the city and helping people at risk of homelessness. Sellers will pay a 4% city tax on transactions over $5 million, but under $10 million. Homes that go for $10 million and over will be taxed at 5.5%. City expects the measure to raise $672 million for its housing programs. So homelessness is a big discussion to talk about, especially here on the West Coast. And I'm anxious to hear what you say. It's more prevalent here on the West because the weather's bad. The weather is better. The Skid Row problem in LA is insane. San Francisco, my city, it's insane. Do you have as many homeless people in the South as we do here?
Well, in per capita, Asheville does have a lot of homeless people. I don't know if it's close to the LA San Francisco part because obviously we have colder winters, but man, we got some homelessness here in this town. And by the way, in this article, and I'm really looking forward to your take on it, but I have a serious problem with, maybe this shows my age, my Gen X mentality, whatever, but Sam references the, you know, he says LA is home to over 69,000 unhoused people. I hate that. And the reason I hate that is because all you're doing is putting lipstick on a pig. You're saying unhoused. You change the language to make it seem as if, oh, well, it's, you know, homelessness is rude. I'm like, it's the same thing. They do not have a home. Quit changing the language, people. No, but it's important because all they're doing is putting lipstick on a pig. They're not solving the problem.
Right after you finish that rant, could you go on and tell us how you want to eradicate social media from the world?
I do.
I do. I would really like to hear that rant.
Oh,
again.
I hate the unhoused thing. It's so bad. Anyway, go on.
So there's a thousand different ways to come at this. Mine is from Richard Rohr. The very first book he wrote is called Falling Upwards. And he says homelessness has been around since the beginning of time. There will always be homelessness. The issue with homelessness is how do you deal with it? When you see a homeless guy, how do you feel? And I think part of the problem in these big urban centers like LA and San Francisco, the homeless come here because there's nowhere else for them to go. And we actually do something, not a great. But if you live in Walnut Creek, there's no homeless people. My father-in-law's like, ah, you homeless people. I'm like, because if you're a policeman in Walnut Creek in the suburbs, they kick you out because they got nothing else to do. So that's why there's no homeless there. So these urban centers like LA and San Francisco, we have to deal with the homelessness.
Well, and there's certainly this whole article is about the fact that they're putting this tax on these mansions, basically. I mean, these are people, these are multi-million dollar mansions. So not like 5 million, like 40 million. It says the tax will affect only 4% of the homes in LA and could help fix the housing crisis. I come at this from so many different angles. Number one, I do not feel sorry for you if you want a $40 million home and you have to pay a $2.5 million tax.
Hold on.
Now.
Real quick. I just got to check this out. Are you a communist? Because it sort of sounds like you. I just want to double check.
I do. I will say that I always have a problem with government overreach on stopping people from being able to make money and do the things they need to do. Right. So you could argue, hey, this person earned it. They got this. But here's the problem with that. Most of these people, or many of these people, inherited this money. They did not earn it. It's like if I could sort of guarantee that every person that had this, and I don't think anybody should have a $40 million home personally, but I look at this and I say, maybe there's more, it's more complicated than not.
Couldn't we fix that by saying, if this is your first home, you don't pay that tax? But presumably anybody that's buying a $5 million home, first of all, it's not their first, and it's probably their second or third. So couldn't we just fix this problem by saying, hey, your first home, if it's over, you know, you're good, but everything after that, you're going to get the tax.
Yeah, I'm sure there are ways to go about this. I mean, certainly what they're trying to do is they're trying to, we have a massive disparity in this country. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer.
That's my number one thing of this.
Way of answering this is saying, that's not, by the way, that's not just an opinion, that's the truth.
It is.
I mean, we have the numbers to support that right?
It's
not healthy. A healthy country has a healthy middle class.
Full stop. What I think the number one problem in America is the great divide between the rich and the poor.
Yes. And that's the reason why we've gotten more homeless.
Yes.
Well, we've got all these issues. Now, let's also unpack a little bit of that homeless issue. As you know, living in a city like San Francisco, as I did, living in a city like Asheville, same type of thing. Cities like San Francisco and Asheville and LA tend to lean more left, more progressive, and they're like, they want to fix the homeless problem. They want to
really
be kind.
Not really.
No, but they want to be kind. They're on the surface, like, we're going to be kind to these people because it's not the homelessness is not a crime, Larry. I mean, but the problem is with a lot of homeless people is they are mentally ill, drug addicted, ex-foster kids, veterans. So there are some real clear type of people that are homeless. If you're talking about family of six that the dad lost his job and now they're living in the car, those people get help and they move out of homelessness relatively quickly. It's that there is a group of people that are perennially homeless no matter what you give them or what you do because they cannot help themselves. That's the problem.
The circle of life is the courts now rule, and I don't know if this is everywhere in California, you cannot clear homeless people unless you provide them a place to go. If you provide them a place to go, like a shelter, they don't want to go there. If you talk to a homeless person, shelters are the worst. Nobody wants to be there. You'd rather live in a tent on a parking lot or a street sidewalk than go to a homeless shelter. So courts say you can't.
Why don't they want to go to a homeless shelter?
Because it's not a great place to be. It's like people, would you want, if you were homeless and destitute, would you want a tent on the sidewalk or go to a shelter? And sleep with
probably would go to a shelter, and sleep with
1,000 people and people coughing all night and bed bugs and all that goes on. No, you wouldn't.
Oh,
no, you wouldn't.
Well, then that's the issue with how we're housing people. I mean, that's.
But what's the alternative? What are we supposed to get 5-star resorts? Like,
no. What I'm saying is yes. I mean, I agree with you. What I'm trying to say is that that's not the solution. That's a very short term solution. That's like someone literally does not have a place to sleep and it's cold. And we need to put them up for a day or two or maybe a week.
But it's never a day.
It is not a long-term
solution. It's never a day.
That's my point. So we have to solve the issue of back in the 70s when Reagan cleaned out the mental institutions, you know, where you couldn't, like, force people to stay in a mental institution. Those people, it's not like they went out and got jobs. They became homeless. And they became perennially homeless. You know a lot of people that work with homeless people.
Yeah.
A lot of people in ministry that work with homeless people, it's not as if people don't care. The problem is the system is set up. You've got two choices. Either I force you to get help or I let you sleep on the sidewalk and deal with all the ramifications of that. That's kind of the way we are. I'm of the mind that I have to force you to get help because you won't do it on your own. That's my solution is I'm going to force you to get help.
So I live in San Francisco. Obviously, these people you're talking about, I have literally started calling them zombies. Because the people, they're not, I hate to say this, but they've kind of lost their humanness in that they're just walking around almost, I hate to say soulless, but as people that cannot function in society.
And it's like if they're drug addicted, they spend all day long trying to score enough drugs to get them through the next day. It's like a medicine. It is medicine. I mean, to keep them well. It's not like they're going, yeah, I want to party down. I mean, these people are barely hanging on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers of people dying on the streets is ridiculous. It's crazy. There is a humanity part of this, is that one is, if you were in, let's take Walnut Creek, because we like to pick on Walnut Creek.
Yep.
If Walnut Creek cared for the people in its, like, say you were born and raised in Walnut Creek and you had a mental health problem or whatever, and it was incumbent on the people of Walnut Creek to care for that person, we probably wouldn't have as big an issue. But what happens is those people are like, oh, I don't want to look at the crazy person or the foster kid or whatever.
Yep.
Go on somewhere else. We'll give you a bus ticket out of here because we just don't want to see it. If every community was responsible for those people that were born and raised in that community, we'd be in a different spot.
Well, that's my problem, as I know you have people, friends from all over the world, from everywhere, and they're like, oh, you crazy San Franciscan, you and your homeless. And you're like, yeah, because you shipped them to me. And the reason I want my kids to live in it is because I want them to see it and realize that it's a real problem, not in Walnut Creek where you ship them to me.
Here's the, you just said about you, why you want your kids to see that. I'm going to say something. You're going to say it's a humble brag. Get a shot ready, because it's not. You and I both, this is where we absolutely agree, no matter what we joke around about, is we want our kids to grow up with the idea that we serve this world, God's kingdom, whatever you want to call it, that we want to raise them with an idea that, hey, man, you won the lottery, dude. You got lucky to be raised by parents that love you and want to care
absolutely
for you and give you all those things. So this, we volunteer with this thing called the VRQ,
yes,
the Veterans Restoration Quarter. Now, the reason I bring this up is because these guys and men and women, I mean, dude, they are like one step away from being homeless. It's a hotel they stay in. And I look at this room full of, it's the twitchiest room I've ever been in my life. And every time I start to think to myself, oh, man, I love these men and women serve this country. They the reason they're here right now is because they got blown up. They saw their friends die. They are a wreck. And we go about our business and act like we had a 20-year war that these men and women came home from, a mess, a train wreck. And all we do is ship them off and complain about the homeless issue. I'll bet you most people, if they stopped and said, hey, you know, you see an older guy or woman on the street, you say, hey, are you a vet? Probably 50% of the time they're going to be like, yeah, I'm a vet. That is horrible.
It is.
That person, had they not gone off to the military, most likely is not where they are. So I want my daughter, Maple, to work and serve these men and women. We just serve them a meal. It's the Elks Lodge does it once a month. They barbecue and they do this thing, and they come in and they are so appreciative of this. And I'm like, I want Maple to see that. I want her to know, hey, you have an obligation. People of Walnut Creek that are listening right now, you have an obligation to take care of those people in your community. You don't have to fix the world, but you have an obligation to take care of those people in your community. And if you're not doing that, you suck.
The reason you live in Walnut Creek is to outsource the unpleasantness. And so that's not going away. So the unpleasantness comes to my neighborhood and the urban centers. Back to the article, LA. I love that the residents voted and said, like, hey, man, you buy a $5 million mansion, you got to kick into the pop. We're going to try to figure this out. Will they ever figure it out or not? But I do like this idea. You know, it's the billionaire's tax. And it's, by the way, it's not even the billionaire's tax. It's not the problem in our country. Problem is that billionaires don't pay taxes to begin with because there's so many tax loopholes. That's the problem. It's not taxes. It's that they
But they're creating jobs. Trickle down, Larry. Anyway, listen, I am a diehard. I was in the GOP for my entire adult life, basically. But I too am tired of this. There has to be some sort of mix in between of what's good for the economy and what's good for the people. But Larry, I would like to thank you for teaching me on how to solve the unhoused issue in this country.